All right. Did anybody ever wonder why it is that the Bible says we're created in God's image when all of us are so different and there's so many different diversities of people and races and cultures and beliefs and ideas? How is it that we are all created in God's image when everyone is so totally different? Men and women are way different, as those of us who are married or have a significant other realize. Why is it that babies, whenever they're born, they have a need for physical touch? Why is it that those of us who are adults or teenagers, and when we're alone, we need to feel close to something or someone? There's a void in our life that we need filled. Every one of us know that the Bible says that God is love, and that He created us to love Him. So obviously, God wants to be loved also. Correct? And if He wants to be loved and He made us to worship Him, to show our love to Him, maybe that's how we're all created in His image. We all need love as He needs love. And then there's the fact that He sent His Son to this earth. And His whole mission while He was here on earth was to show His love and to teach us how to love. And the fact that He went to the cross and made the ultimate sacrifice to pour out that love and to prove His love to each and every one of us. Doesn't that mean that we were created to love each other also? How about the fact that everyone He came in contact with and everyone He showed love to was touched in such a way that they were changed completely forever? Everyone Jesus came in contact with, from the time He was born to the time He died and when He came back and walked the earth after His resurrection. Everyone He came in contact with was never, ever the same ever again. We're going to take a closer look at that right now. Just got my ear and my glasses.
So tonight, I met this man, this very controversial man. Even now, after meeting him, I'm still not sure what to think. You see, for the last few years, here in Jerusalem, we've been hearing reports of this man, Jesus. Reports that may or may not be true. Some people say that He has performed miracles, that He's healed sick people by the hundreds, and that He created food for thousands of people out of almost thin air, and that just recently, that he brought back to life a man who'd been dead for over 3 days. But it's His teachings that have stirred up the most controversy. You see, this Jesus, He claims that God is His Father and that everything He does is ordered by His Father. Some people say He's a prophet sent from God. Some people say He's a lunatic. My employer, Caiaphas, he says this man is very dangerous. I mean, after all, a guy that walks around claiming that he's the Son of God, he's got to be some kind of power-hungry political schemer or just a crazy fool. And well, that's what I thought up until tonight, that he was just some crazy, stupid fool. But now I'm not so sure who the fool's been. You see, all my life, I, Malchus, had depended on my own two hands and my wits to get what I wanted in life. When you are born poor, you soon learn that the only one who's going to give you a helping hand is yourself. No one's just going to hand you anything. But that's all right. I didn't need anyone. I found that I could get what I wanted by my own blood, sweat, and tears. And you know what? I've done fairly well for myself. You see, I work for the high priest himself. And I'm not one of your run-of-the-mill employees. No, you see, my job is, let's say, specialized. When there's a difficult job that needs to be done, Caiaphas calls on me, Malchus. I mean, after all, a guy that's climbed up the ladder as far as I have has learned a few tricks along the way. And tonight, I was assigned a particularly important job. Very high profile. Political kind of stuff. The Romans were involved, and they were supplying a lot of the manpower. Our orders were to take down this man, Jesus, but to do it as quietly as possible. Caiaphas had an informant on the inside who was tipping us off to Jesus' whereabouts and his identity, as, well, most of us had never seen the guy before. And the guy, Judas, he made arrangements for the rendezvous to be in a quiet place late at night with no witnesses. Well, other than a handful of Jesus' followers. But most of those guys, just fishermen, nothing to worry about there. It seemed like the perfect setup. And it was, too. Well, except for nobody counted on that maniac fisherman trying to play the hero. You see, when we got there, the guy Judas, he ID'd the man Jesus for us. But the weird thing was, like, this Jesus knew what was going down. Like, he'd been tipped off about our informant already. Anyways, it seemed to be a really big surprise to his followers. They all seemed really scared. Well, except for that crazy guy. One minute he's standing there with his mouth wide open, the next he's coming at me with a sword raised over his head. That guy wanted to part my hair permanently. I ducked, but it wasn't quick enough. I could feel pain just shoot down the right side of my face. I put my hand up, and I could feel blood pouring out of a hole where my ear had been. Before I had time to process what had happened, this guy, Jesus, he reaches down and picks my ear up off the ground. That was a weird sight, let me tell you. The next thing I know, he's reaching out towards my head with it. I was too much in shock to do anything but stand there and just watch him. And then the pain was gone. I put my hand up, and my ear was there, totally normal. If it wasn't for the blood still smeared all over me, I would have thought I dreamt the whole thing. The guy literally put my ear back on my head without doing anything other than just touching me. And then this Jesus, he tells the crazy fisherman to put his sword away. And then he says, "Those who live by the sword die by the sword." And I knew he was talking to me. It was like he knew all about me. Knew that I don't trust anyone. I don't depend on anyone but me and my own brute force to protect myself and get ahead in this world. And yeah, sometimes I can do it better with a sword in my hand. But somehow he made it all seem so pointless. Like, where does it all end for a guy like me? At some point, my wits and my strength are going to fail me. What then? Before tonight, I would have said this Jesus was a fool. I mean, what kind of person puts back on the ear that was cut off a guy that was trying to take him down? An idiot's what I would have said. But now I'm not so sure. Now I'm wondering if I'm the idiot.
All right, well, today's passage of scripture can be found in Luke 22:47-53. You hear me all right? All right. I heard this story a lot when I was a child growing up, but it never really struck me until I was writing a college paper, and I thought about the love that it had to take for Jesus to make someone whole again that was out to get him, that was going to take him down to be crucified. And then I thought about how we as Christians, when we sin against Christ, it's just like we're striking out against him again every time. And yet he comes back to us each and every time and makes us whole again. Every time, every day we wake up, we screw up. And every day he comes to us with all his love and his grace and makes us whole again. And that just amazes me that no matter how many times we hurt him, he keeps coming and he keeps wanting to give us his grace and his love. So the title of my message today is Love Beyond Imagination. You can also find this passage in John 18. It's the same story, it's just a different version of it, but it's still the same amazing story. So how do we go about applying the love of the cross and redemption and the love of someone who's willing to make someone whole again, who's out to get them? Well, first of all, we need to apply this love to our life. We need to accept Jesus' love for our lives and let him come in and make us whole. He's willing to do it. We have to just let him come in and do it. Back in Jesus' day, whenever a person was a disciple, they actually tried to think like the person who was discipling them. They tried to speak like the person who was discipling them. And they tried to almost have the same exact thoughts and actions as the person who was discipling them. They wanted to become as much like the person who was discipling them as possible. So that brings us to number two. We need to learn to try and think like Jesus. We need to learn to try and act like Jesus. And we need to learn to try and speak like Jesus. Although we will never accomplish that goal, no matter how hard we try, we must try to do that in order to have the same kind of love that Jesus has for each and every one of us. We need to try and show this love by, if someone is sinning against us, or someone has sinned against us in the past, we need to show them the love that Jesus has instead of striking out against them. And we need to forget our human nature and try to do what Jesus would have us do. Now, that's not an easy thing to do. Just ask Peter, because his first reaction was to cut off the ear of the person who was going after, one of the people who was going after Jesus. But as Jesus said, just stop. He knew what was going to happen. He said, "Shall I not drink the cup that my Father has given me?" He knew what was about to come to him, and still he had the love to reach down and put that ear back on and make Malchus whole again. And that, to me, is just incredible that he could do that. Number three, we need to go above and beyond the love that we think we have, because Jesus Christ is in each and every one of us, and he has the power to give us the love that we need to show to the whole world. We need to go out and speak to the whole world and tell them of the love of Jesus. Just like Jesus didn't do this to Malchus and make him whole again just for the simple fact that he loved him. He had an ulterior motive, just like he does with each and every one of our lives. He knew that if he did that to Malchus, whenever Malchus was there to take him down, that it would impact him in such a way that he would go out and tell people about the miracle that happened to him whenever this Jesus was going to be arrested and taken and crucified and whipped and tortured. That he had the love and the love that it took to reach him down and make him whole again. Jesus always knew what was going to happen. So he always knew what to do before it happened. So I thought that was pretty cool too, that he would do this to him and he would go and tell other people of the love that he received. So, this is the end of where my message comes. So there you go. John 13:34. A new command I give to you. Love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. It's right there in black and white or red and white, depending on your version of the Bible. Jesus gives us a command to love one another. It's not something that he thinks we should do. It's not something that he wants us to do. He does want us to do it, but he commands us to love one another. It's a commandment that we must go love one another. And I like that saying up there that I got off the internet. Beyond the know lies the imagination. We must love each other beyond the imagination that we think we have. Because like I said, Jesus Christ gives us the power to love our enemies. He gives us the power to love the people who we think we can't love. We must show them the love so that whenever they're striking out against us and we show them love, that they will tell others of our actions and how we speak and think, just as Malchus did with Jesus. So this is my prayer for each and every one of us, that we can have this love and go out and love beyond imagination. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for what you did for us on the cross. And I just pray that each and every one of us might accept this love and this grace, and that we might go out and tell the world what you do for us each and every day. You are an awesome, amazing God, and we love you for everything you do for us. In your name, amen.